Well, then I just grab my iPhone and I go to wellsfargo.com and I put in my information and I look and I'm rich. I'm good.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
All right, we go around the 404 at noon every day, keeping it local, and we've got Travis Schlenksound. He was on the morning show with John and Hugh. I also want to tell you about a Georgia Tech catcher who was drafted very high in the draft. We'll talk about the Braves' loss to the Padres. Falcons made a couple of roster moves. Lots to get to.
Want to appreciate somebody who tweeted us, and Preacher Man did a little research, and apparently Kyler Murray can sign this contract with the A's and still play football. Paul, you've got a rule slash example from the NCAA.
Chris Pope actually tweeted at us and said he could do it. So I wanted to make sure that that was legit before we went to the air. So apparently this is this comes under the 10 ways college athletes can get paid and remain eligible in their sport. This is number 3, pro money in a different sport in the NCAA's confusing world of amateurism. You can be deemed an amateur in one sport while clearly a professional in another sport. A pro athlete paid in one sport can simultaneously play college athletics in a different sport and receive a scholarship. It doesn't happen much, but the sport most frequently impacted is a college football player who also participates in minor league baseball. In 2010, Kyle Parker was Clemson's QB. He got a $1.4 million signing bonus from the Colorado Rockies. Russell Wilson had a $200,000 signing bonus with the Rockies. And also, Roscoe Crosby had a $1.75 million signing bonus from the Kansas City Royals while a Clemson wide receiver in the early 2000s.
So I guess what becomes interesting with this, and I remember a guy named Kenny Kelly. Miami had a quarterback named Kenny Kelly years ago who was a Tampa Bay Rays prospect. And I think where the dilemma came is he would be in minor league camp, yet that's when spring practice was going on, and he finally had to make the decision one or the other, and he decided to go play pro baseball full time. So I guess this is a scenario where Kyler Murray could sign with the A's, practice up until football season. Does that sound right? Or play minor league baseball until football season?
Yes.
If I'm the A's, that's a big investment for a guy that could get hurt playing football. And if I'm Lincoln Riley, do I want my quarterback playing baseball during the offseason?
And what I say to that is Kyler Murray's the hot shot, man. He's the guy that was drafted. He's the guy that Oklahoma needs to play quarterback. So Kyler Murray has the leverage. I think he's going to have his cake and eat it, too. So Travis Schlenk was asked about the third overall pick by John and Hugh this morning. And to John's point before the break, he did intimate that we may be trading down in the 2018 NBA draft.
No, you know, we met yesterday afternoon as a staff, and you know, I think the biggest thing we're trying to figure out is what the pool of guys that are going to be there when it's the third pick. We feel pretty good about Phoenix having their choice down to just a couple guys. So now, you know, Sacramento is kind of a wild card to us, trying to figure out who their group of guys might be. You know, we're down to 3 or 4 guys, I think, that we're kind of looking at seriously with the third pick. There's going to be some options for us to maybe slide back a couple spots. And so we're going through the process of trying to evaluate what it would take from a package from another team for us to do that and what the group of pool of players that might be available there to see if any of those scenarios might be attractive to us. So right now we're just playing a lot of those hypothetical games that we'll do for the next 16 days waiting for the draft to get here.
So what I read between the lines with that, great stuff, the entire interview up at 92.9thegame.com. What I read between the lines with that with Travis Schlenk is, all right, we might have 4 guys that we value the same, but we don't necessarily value them at the number 3 pick. And if just, say, Orlando, and I use them for an example, Orlando's in love with Jaren Jackson and wants to move up to 2 to get him. And maybe the Hawks pick is Marvin Bagley, but he goes 2 to the Sacramento Kings. Can Orlando give you enough that you slide back to 6, realize that you're still going to get one of those guys that you have in that group, and potentially pick up something else from the Orlando Magic?
Great question. That right there is one of the best sound bites that John and Hugh have gotten out of Travis Schlenk. So much to chew on that. Talking about Phoenix being down to 2 guys, right? Really, who is it? Is it Bamba and Doncic? Is it Ayton and Doncic? Is it Ayton and Bagley? Fascinating. He said Sacramento's a wild card. John and I have already diagnosed that, not that Travis needs our help, but They need small forward, and they need power forward. So they could go Doncic, they could go Bagley, they could go Bamba, they could go in a bunch of different directions. I still haven't quite figured it out. I tend to think that they're going to take Luka Doncic. I could be wrong. And the whole thing about sliding back a couple of spots tells me two things. One, Travis Schlenk does not perceive this draft as three guys in draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
He does not perceive it that way. If he did, he wouldn't want to move out of three.
Right.
He would stay at three and just take the best that he could work with there, knowing that there was a line and then a big drop-off from three to the fourth best player. Travis Schlenk does not view it that way. And the more we talk, we talked with David Griffin earlier, NBA executive, about Mo Bamba. He's in love with Mo Bamba.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks Mo Bamba could be the number one overall pick in this draft. So Travis Schlenk is not viewing this as three guys and the rest. The other thing it tells me, John, is that with Dennis Schroeder unhappy, wanting out, the team wanting him out, you would think about sliding back a couple of spots to take a point guard. Because to take Trae Young or Colin Sexton at three is a little too high. It just is. You've got Doncic, you got Bamba, you got Jackson, you got Porter, you got these guys that just sort of kind of look like the next level up of prospect. And then you have Trae Young and Colin Sexton, Mikal Bridges of Villanova, and a bunch of other guys. This tells me if they trade back, John, they're trading back to take Colin Sexton or Trae Young because they don't think that taking Trae Young or Colin Sexton at three is the right thing to do.
And again, if you trade back, you might end up picking up an additional first somewhere. You might end up, because they're not interested in second-round picks. It might be something in 2019 you get an additional pick from somebody. Maybe you get a rotation guy that you could bring in now. And again, I just use Orlando because they're a couple of spots down. Maybe even go another spot or two further than that.
Orlando is at six.
Yes.
Dallas is at five. Mm-hmm. Dallas is always an aggressive franchise.
Sure.
Mark Cuban, Donnie Nelson, and Rick Carlisle. Do they want to be bad again? You know, do they want to have another T season, as Mark Cuban said, and got fined $600,000 for? Or do they want to make a bold move and get up to three? And, you know, is it Bamba? Is it Bagley? Mm-hmm. They have to. Nerlens Noel, complete failure with them. Dirk Nowitzki has, what, maybe 1 year left? Probably should have already scheduled the press conference. They need a big. So does Dallas look at us at three? And then if we move back to five, and maybe you net, I don't know. I don't know what it would be. If I were Dallas, I would not give up a future first-round pick to move
neither.
Up two spots.
No,
I wouldn't do that, but they might.
Yeah, if they really want Mo Bamba, and he's a Texas kid as well,
maybe
you get him at three, and they're really excited about that. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks for the Hawks to figure out what they're doing.
So, Emma, let's fire up this Travis Schlenk bite on Josh Okogie, of course, the Georgia Tech star. After a couple of years, he has killed it in combines. He has killed it in workouts. He is rising up draft boards, and here's what Travis Schlenk had to say about it.
My read here, Travis, is that Josh Okogie's stock is continuing to rise.
Yeah, no, he's a name out there that's gathering steam. He played well in the pre-draft camp in Chicago. I think a lot of teams or a lot of people maybe hadn't seen him a lot at Georgia Tech. You know, they weren't a top team this past year, kind of had a rough season for where they were a year before. So there were some people, I think, that underestimated his athleticism, first of all. You know, he's an NBA athlete with NBA strength and size. And obviously he's young, so guys like that tend to catch people's attention.
He's a volume scorer. He's a guy that did have to take a lot of shots at Georgia Tech, and you like somebody like Josh Okogie, probably a second-round guy. Slide him in there, you know. He probably plays the D-League yo-yo or the G-League yo-yo for a little bit, but I think Josh Okogie absolutely can be a rotation guy in this league that gets you 10, 12 points a game somewhere down the line.
I agree, and I saw Peachtree Hoops had somebody's mock draft. They were mocking Josh Okogie to our Hawks at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be happy with that?
Yeah. At 30, it's – I mean, let's be – at 30, it's a crapshoot.
Too high. I can't go two guaranteed years for Josh Okogie. I just can't do it. I like him. I think he's a high second-round pick. If we take him at 34 – I like it. I don't have a first-round grade on him. Again, I like him. He's a tantalizing talent. He's got the bod. He can leap. He can shoot. He can slash. Maybe I'm underselling the guy, but and maybe I'm just kind of staying true to my mock draft. But I want Trayvon Duvall at 30. Like, can we compromise? Can we, like, take Trayvon Duvall at 30 and then maybe take Okogie at 34? But then I want Landry Shamet at 34. And Landry Shamet of Wichita State, John, was here yesterday at Emory working out. So was Devontae Graham, the Kansas star.
Ball player.
Jacob Evans, 6'6", guard out of Cincy. Mm-hmm. Really good player, tremendous athlete. John, today, Trayvon blew it.
I love Trayvon Blewett.
Remember Trayvon Blewett?
Absolutely.
Shot makeup.
Absolutely.
Out of Xavier. He's here today working out for our Hawks. Yonte Maton working out for our Hawks today. And Yonte Maton has replaced Michigan's Mo Wagner. Mm-hmm. Wagner was supposed to work out today, and for whatever reason, I don't know, has backed out, and Maton has taken his spot. So now two brand name mock draftable guys in Mo Wagner of Michigan and Anthony Simmons of IMG Academy have, for whatever reason, scheduled and then unscheduled a workout for the Hawks. So there's your update.
Well, it's our scheduled time to try to give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
pose. P-O-S-E. Grant McCauley right now is striking a pose in the back with Mark Owens. You text pose right now to 72881 from your cell phone. Again, pose to 72881. You'll have to 59 past the hour to do so. It's your chance to win $1,000. Message data rates may apply. And by the way, this is the last week during our spring / summer session that the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest is going on.
So we continue around the 404. Our Braves lose to the Pods last night, 11-4. It was just one of those games, man. I mean, they opened up a can on Julio Teheran, then opened up a bigger can of whoop-you-know-what on Luis Gohara. And we've talked about it. I think Brian Snicker misplayed his hand with Gohara. You got to realize that this dude's mind isn't all the way back from dealing with family and coming back after a couple weeks off. And I know you want to run him out there, and I agree with him coming into the game, but once you saw what he was doing and that the performance just wasn't there, I would have yanked him out sooner. I hope that this has not, you know, at least temporarily damaged Luis Gohara's confidence. I thought he should have gotten him out of harm's way a little earlier last night.
I agree with that, but I think he'll be fine. He's a guy that's got plus stuff all over the place. It's just another opportunity. You get him back out there in another situation and let him pitch his way out of it. Cy Newcomb will be on the mound tonight against Jordan Lyles.
I like what you said there.
Yeah, there you go.
I like what you said there. Mm-hmm. So then on Wednesday it'll be Mike Fultonevich, if memory serves.
I believe so.
That's the way they went. It went Newcomb last Thursday and then Fulte on Friday, so I haven't looked at it, but I believe that'll be the case. So, Braves fans,
it'll
will
be
Fulte
versus undecided as of right now. So, undecided is a crafty lefty, throws about mid-70s, likes to paint the outside edge.
And he's going to get bludgeoned. Undecided is going to get bludgeoned by our Bravos, but we'll be fine,
undecided,
man.
Undecided is actually from parts unknown, weights unknown.
So check this out. You remember the Boise State tight end, Jake Rowe?
That was your dude.
A little high on him, right? Mm-hmm. And we bring him in as an undrafted free agent. Well, he's been cut. Bye-bye.
That didn't take long.
But it didn't. But
he didn't
Falcons
make it to camp. Good Lord. He's like Craig on Friday. How you get fired on your off day, Smokey?
Big Worm's good. Still looking for his $200, man.
No, he got his $200. He just shot up the neighborhood to get it.
Yeah, he really did, didn't he? But Taj Williams, a wide receiver, has been signed by our Atlanta Falcons. Now, basically, this is, John, correct me if I'm wrong, he's been signed to go to vet camp, training camp, as they call it, and he'll try to make the team. He might not. 2 years of playing time at Texas Christian, TCU. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any stats. Maybe he was a JUCO transfer or something, coming freshman to sophomore. But as a junior, caught 39 balls for 702 yards and 5 TDs for TCU. And last year, I presume Johnny got hurt. He played a couple of games.
Okay.
So maybe that's why he fell out of the draft, and all that kind of stuff. But Taj Williams is a Falcon for right now.
Well, there you go. And again, minicamp will be next Wednesday. They tee this thing up. We'll actually be broadcasting live from there. Next Wednesday, us and Dukes and Bell.
But Taj Williams is long, 6'3", 193.
You think he shows up for
so
camp?
He's tall.
Think he'll be there?
You mean at mandatory minicamp?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yeah. Think he'll be there?
Yeah. He'll be looking to take Julio's job.
No.
Just kidding.
Julio will be back.
Julio will be back?
He'll
is that
be
a guarantee?
It's a guarantee.
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 Okay.
I'll make sure I tweet out the first pictures of Julio running out onto the field.
Next Wednesday, you say?
We're there.
We are in Flowery Branch.
Yes.
For Falcons mandatory.
Yes.
Minicamp.
We are actually going to work on the blocking sleds at some point. We're going to have Preacher Man stand on the back and go, Cameron, go! Michaels, go!
I love
we'll do the stack and shed.
Yeah, like you did with Aaron Donald when he threw you around like a rag doll.
Man, Aaron, there's a reason Aaron Donald's holding out because they looked at what I did to him and they said, if that guy can do that to you, we can't pay you big money.
Hey, one last thing at around the 404, Mark Owens earmuffs. Because Georgia Tech catcher Joey Bart went second overall in the 2018 MLB draft to the San Francisco Giants, who just got their replacement for Buster Posey down the line. Because Posey, John, what is he, 10 years in?
Oh, yeah.
He can't catch forever. So they got to get his replacement and groom him. And so Joey Bart is a Giant. Good for him. Good for Georgia Tech.
Good for him. And unfortunately, Georgia's baseball team out of the College World Series. As I jinxed them yesterday. They lost.
As a tear rolls down the cheek of Mark Owens.
Doubleheader to Duke, and they're done. We take a break, come back. NFL bounce. We were talking about this earlier. You guys can chime in. 404-741-0929. So Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We gave you five playoff teams out. Now we give you five playoff teams in. It's coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9. The game. I mean, balls hit me right in it.
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is our NFL Bounce, and we're listing it up today, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, me and John are getting our prediction hats on, and we've already told you the playoff teams last year who are going to be out this year. Now, we're going to tell you the playoff teams or the non-playoff teams last year that will be playoff teams this year. Get it? Got it? Good. So we both agreed annoyingly, nauseatingly on all five teams that were playoff teams last year and will be out this year. Three from the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and the Tennessee Titans, and two from the NFC, the Minnesota Vikings and the Carolina Panthers. Yes, not one, but two heady hosts on the Midday Show with Rick and John had the exact same list of going in to out. Kind of stinks, but it is what it is.
It is, and Paul has once again given us a very, very dirty look and then disappeared to his car when you said Tennessee Titans.
Uh-oh. And again, just to recap that conversation before we move ahead in advance, both me and John, well, I'll just speak for myself right now. The Tennessee Titans are super talented. They are a playoff team. But our bit is five in to out and five out to in. So we had to pick a fifth team. And that's why Tennessee was that fifth team, based on the teams who are in the play. John, are we going to bounce New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, the Rams, the Saints, or the Falcons?
Nope.
Uh-uh.
The only one that I considered outside of that was the Saints. And I think you were the same way.
Yep.
And that's partly I don't like the Saints. I think the Saints are going to be a really good football team, and that's why I decided not to do it. So if five are out, that means five new ones have to go in. Let's see. I'm saying four of our five will match.
I'm saying
four of five.
I'm saying two.
Okay. Swing first. First team in.
I'm going to swing with the team that I know you're not picking to make the playoffs.
All right.
The New York Giants.
That is correct. I did not pick the New York Giants.
I think that getting Nate Solder, they overpaid to get him, the left tackle from New England, but now they have a left tackle. And they made other adjustments to their offensive line, so I think that line is going to be vastly improved. You have Saquon Barkley, who is going to transcend that entire offense. You have Odell Beckham in a contract year. They are going to get a phenomenal year out of Odell Beckham Jr. You've got Evan Engram, just a killer tight end. You've got Eli Manning, who I know that you're not a fan of his, but I think he's going to have a renaissance season. I think that now the competitiveness is going to return for the New York Giants. That, John, they're at least going to be relevant. Like, I think they're going to be a playoff team, but they're at least going to be relevant, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. That's, to me, the floor. So the defense is going to trigger again. You're going to get Landon Collins having a big year. You're going to get a good year from the front seven. So I got the Giants in the playoffs.
I do not have the Giants in the playoffs. So let me think of the team that you may not have. I think the San Francisco 49ers are in the playoffs.
Whoa! I do not have the 49ers.
So there's one disagreement.
I love it!
You have the Giants. I have the 49ers. Maybe I'm buying into Kyle Shanahan the second year. Maybe I'm buying into Jimmy Garoppolo the second year. But they've acquired quite a bit of talent. Now, they're still deficient in a few spots. Wide receiver could use some help. I don't think they're over-the-top great on the defensive side of the football, although they've drafted a ton of guys there. But I just have a feeling Seattle's on the way down. Arizona's going to be dreadful. Yeah, they're not going to beat the Rams, but San Francisco's also playing a 6-10 schedule. So thinking about all those things, I could see San Fran going from 6-10 to 10-6 pretty easily.
I'm not mad at that. I love the bold call. I mean, I just went with the Giants. They were 3-13 last year. I can't throw shade on any of your calls. I'm going to try to go with another one that I don't think you're going to pick.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders.
Rick Camley, you would be incorrect because I do have the Oakland/Las Vegas
That's
Raiders.
That's garbage. That's
Here's the thing. Gruden, what does he have left? I don't know. That's the great unknown. But he's gone in there, if nothing else, and changed the culture of the Raiders. Marquette King, you want to be a diva punter? You're now an unemployed punter. I don't know if somebody else re-signed him. Don't really care. He's a punter. No offense, Matt Bosher. You're my dude. But John Gruden's going to go in there. Derek Carr has to be better. Amari Cooper cannot stink as badly as he did a year ago. I thought last year Marshawn Lynch came in and, you know, they were haphazard and they were lucky and they blah, 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 we're going to win some games, and they didn't. I think this year John Gruden's going to tighten that string a little bit and they're going to go out and win football games. Matter of fact, I think they win the AFC West.
They could. John Gruden's a winner, and I think he's going to take that winning mentality and it's just going to permeate the entire organization. Mm-hmm. This is a team that 2 years ago before Derek Carr got hurt, they were looking like a Super Bowl team. And Derek Carr was an MVP candidate on the fringe, probably top five or six in MVP. He gets hurt, and they really haven't recovered since. Gruden comes in. Derek Carr's going to have an amazing year to me. And not only do you have Marshawn Lynch, now you have Doug Martin.
Yep.
And so to me, that's a good little two-headed monster. You got the power guy, and you got the speedy, shifty guy. Amari Cooper, Gruden has said, is going to be the focal point of the offense. He has to play better, and I think he will. He's still going to drop balls, John. That's kind of what he does. But you bring in Jordy Nelson. You make that trade for Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
That's right. You go Cooper, Jordy, Martavis is
pretty
your top
good.
Three. And you have Jared Cook as a decent tight end. I mean, he's a little bit above average. So they have a rock star offense and a great offensive line, John.
And they are going to run Spider 2 Y Banana to death. Spider 2 Y Banana. Why'd you throw back to the back?
All right, you hit me. We're Rick and John here, NFL Bounce. We're talking about teams that were not playoff teams a year ago who are going to be playoff teams here in 2018. I've already hit you with the Giants and the Raiders. John has hit you with the Raiders and the Niners. Go.
I already know we have two others automatically that match. Two others that I guarantee match. The Houston Texans.
Correct, sir. Banned.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Banned.
All right, so yeah. I'm close. Well, so right now it's three.
I have both of those teams. I'm very bullish on both.
You said two. I said four. We're right now at three. Who's the last team in?
3-2-1 Green Bay Packers.
I was right. Four. Yeah.
This sucks. I hate it when we agree. I like butting heads with you like rams on a mountaintop. We're in here. Oh, great call, John. Oh, great call, Rick. Hey. You're so great at football. John, you're so great.
Preacher
awesome
man.
Job, dude.
Preacher man, can we write this one down? Because I know Rick loves juice boxes. I got 20 juice boxes. San Francisco wins more games than the Giants.
Okay. 20 but juice boxes?
Just to make it fun.
Boom. Bet.
Done.
You know, I love a juice box bet. I'll take that.
I cannot believe I'm big on
this
San Francisco
awesome.
Giants.
We have 3-13
uh-huh.
I'm going with.
It's
and you're going
and
with 6-10
Yeah.
And they got all six wins in the last six games.
Yeah, with Jimmy G.
Oh, this is great.
So we've got
this
that written great. Down for the rest of the
Man,
year.
Now I go into every single segment wanting, hoping, lusting for a juice box bet.
Oh, man, I love it. We had somebody that texted in and said, if one of y'all doesn't choose the Chicago Bears on the list, you're out of your mind. No,
okay.
I don't trust the Bears.
Okay, I like the moves they made.
I see you. I got to see Mitch Trubisky actually perform
exactly.
well.
Exactly. They put pieces around him, man. You've got two stud running backs. You've got a bevy of receivers now. You've bolstered
defense,
your offensive
they were
line.
Good.
You got a plucky little defense. I'm feeling the Bears. Just not like, to me, they had so far to go after last year. Get back to relevance. You know, get to 8-8 And then next year at this time, we may be talking about the Bears as our little team that could.
Unless Trubisky does the Jared Goff. And
yep,
all of a sudden
go.
He goes from eh to holy cow, this guy can really play. And I think Trubisky has the potential to be a really good quarterback. But I think they'll just be out. I think only one team gets in from the NFC North. And that's the Packers.
And I agree. I have the Vikings out. I have the Packers in. And the Houston Texans, look, they're going to get a healthy Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is going to be an MVP candidate.
Okay.
Anybody mad at me?
No.
Anybody playing the hot take card? Because
no.
That's not what I'm trying to do. I think he's going to be an MVP candidate. He's going to have amazing stats. He's going to have Houston at double-digit wins, safely in the playoffs, maybe even winning a very, very tough AFC South all of a sudden. When you consider Jacksonville and Houston, you've obviously got Tennessee that won a playoff game last year. So I'm really bullish on Houston. J.J. Watt is looking good. He's healthy. He should be back. And they've got, obviously, a bunch of other talented players, including Newcock.
It's your guy.
I was going to throw shade on Julio, but I'm taking the high road.
I think the Falcons are at practice right
now. I'm having a good day.
I'm almost positive the Falcons are at practice.
I've thrown enough shade on a Julio for one day, Tehran, so I'll leave Jones alone.
I am just waiting right now for somebody to tweet out that Julio's there, and I've kind of yet to see that.
Practicing right now?
They're practicing right
now. But it's not mandatory, right?
No.
So
OTAs.
So he's good. So what is he, the kickball tournament again?
Probably.
Is he swinging not. And whiffing on a... On a kickball?
I don't think so. I will say Calvin Ridley working at kick return, Russell Gage off to the side working with trainers.
Does that mean?
It's OTAs. Tack McKinley still working individually helmet. He doesn't have a helmet on. He's just working.
Yeah, he's coming off shoulder surgery.
He is. So, I mean, that's where you're at right now. A little kick return action. I got some pictures up.
Okay.
D-Led and Kelsey Conway and Marvin Hall practicing TD celebrations. Mm-hmm. All good stuff.
So it's on the record, ladies and gentlemen. Rick and John, from out to in terms of the playoffs last year to this year, we both have the Houston Texans, the Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Oakland Raiders going from out to in. He has the 49ers, and I have the Giants. And we have a juice box bet on those last two teams in terms of the amount of wins. Now, this LA Chargers team, third in fewest points allowed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Third best point allowed defense in the National Football League. They bolstered that defense, getting Derwin James. Their first four picks were on the defensive side of the football. And I know that they have a weird tight end spot with Hunter Henry out, but you get Mike Williams back and healthy, the star out of Clemson, to go with Tyrell Williams and, of course, Keenan Allen. The Chargers are ready to go. And by
and
the way,
Melvin Gordon, who can run that rock.
And Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Ingram on the other side of Bosa with their bookends of death.
Mount Rushmore of Melvins. Go.
He is predicting a Super Bowl for the Chargers. And you know what? I am not mad at Melvin Ingram for saying that. Now, if Baker Mayfield was predicting Super Bowl for the Browns, I'd be mad at him. But I am not mad at Melvin Ingram for touting his super talented team.
By the way, you guys can text and give us your Mount Rushmore of Melvins. That's two Melvins in one segment.
The band, the Melvins. Can I put them on there? They're a rock and roll band. They're quirky, kind of Frank Zappa-ish.
Okay.
But the Melvins.
Do you guys remember Melvin Riley? Mark Owen, see if you can find Melvin Riley. I think the name of the song was "Whose Is It?" A little R&B.
Wait
joint.
A minute. Wasn't it Melvin Upton?
Was that?
Didn't he change his name from BJ to Melvin to honor his dad? Boom.
He's
that on the Mount Rushmore of Melvins.
I'm not sure he's on the Mount Rushmore. Hey, you know what is Mount Rushmore?
He's on the Mount Rushmore hitting 150.
He is right there with that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett tomorrow. It's the 5th annual Celebrity Golf Classic. Wednesday at Top Golf in Midtown, 2 to 6. Dukes and Bell will be there. You found it right away. My God. Changing things up. It's Target Golf. Lots of top-notch celebrities. But you got to sign up today. Go to the event page right now, 92.9thegame.com, to register. Preacher Man, come on in softly. Little Melvin Riley. From the Bible, coming up next. Meow.
The Game.
Hallelujah. It's time for the Preacher Man to take over here and take us through some of the stories that we have missed as we're talking all this sports on the Midday Show with Rick and John, home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United. You've heard of Atlanta United, right, John?
I have.
You love them like me, don't you?
I sure do.
You're going to be watching tomorrow night, Kennesaw State?
Yeah.
The Charleston Battery?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
5-1.
It'll be right here on the game, by the way.
Kick their rear ends.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. U.S. Open Cup, baby.
Let's do it.
Let's do it with the Preacher Man.
Preacher Man.
Wait a second.
Huh? What'd you say?
Nothing.
Paul perked right on up. He went, boop.
From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn.
Boop.
Call 770, the number 4 Flood, Dunn Waterproofing.
Boop.
Get it done with Dunn.
Get it done with Dunn.
You're 4 Floods.
Right.
The number.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, I had a little frog in my throat.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, I had a little frog in my throat.
All right, well, apparently Conor McGregor took a big leap on the Forbes list of highest-paid athletes due to one fight. Over the last 12 months, he has moved up from 24th to number 4.
Who's up to number 4?
24 to 4.
He moved up from 24th to 4.
How much money does he have now?
Well, it's basically saying they estimated he made $99 million. Oh. in the last 12 months.
Yeah, you know why? Fighting Floyd.
That's what I said. If you were listening when I was talking.
I was listening, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Now, previously, he'd only made $34 million the previous year.
That's a pretty good year. $34 million is a pretty good. LeBron James' salary is about $34 million, by the way.
Preacher man, and that's why there's a chance that those two fight again in the octagon.
Well,
money talks, BS walks.
Floyd was number one with an estimated $285 million.
285.
Yeah.
In 1 year.
1 year. Where he was ranked. He was ranked 16th the previous year with only 44 million.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He only had the fight with Conor McGregor, correct? I don't believe he had another.
I believe
another.
You are correct. I can't.
I'm just trying to
think. I don't recall him fighting anybody else.
Because the last fight before that was Manny Pacquiao, was it not?
Correct.
And that was a couple of years ago.
Ay, 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 ay. And you all think that, you
your
know.
2.2 is
y'all, y'all, nah, I mean, it's not about, y'all think that these like random NBA players making $10, $12, $13 million a year are overpaid. Oh my God! He got
well. The people that are really making the money are the soccer stars.
There you go,
like Lionel Messi, who made $111 million, and Cristiano Ronaldo, who made $108 million. They're
meaning,
2 and 3, respectively.
By the way, I know you're going to be like, "What? Camel's talking about soccer? Like, and it's not Atlanta United. The World Cup, I guess, is 9 days away.
Sure.
I saw a little countdown on ESPN last night. I'm actually kind of geeked up for the World Cup. And I've never said that in my entire life. Thank you, Atlanta United. You're turning this football, baseball, basketball guy into a soccer fan.
Didn't you say we were each going to do, like, right before the World Cup, we'll do, like, a pool?
There's no question. We
have
to do
it. Maybe five juice boxes each. We just
have to do
pick them out of a hat.
Yeah, I got to have
some
rooting interest.
Because I know nothing about it. I want Brazil just for the scenery.
Well, but it's dudes wearing clothes, not what you think.
Not what they show in the crowd.
Oh, there you go.
They're all in, like, bikinis holding the flag going, "Olé, olé, 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 Brazil! Olé, 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 Brazil!" I think it's something like that. That's kind of how the chant goes?
It's pretty close, John.
Okay. They were also doing that for Ricky Hatton, and then he got knocked the blank out.
How does that sound with the Vuzuzela?
Oh, that.
Vuzuzela. What is that thing?
The Vuzela. The Vuzela.
Vuzela.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
We'll get ready for that.
Yeah. All right, well, apparently LeBron James, what? You
Floyd had fought Andre Berto, but that was back in 2015. So, yeah.
Doesn't count.
Conor McGregor, that's it.
LeBron James has decided to settle the LeBron-Michael Jordan debate on his own because he just publicly deemed himself the greatest basketball player of all time.
Stop.
LeBron is on the cover of the new NBA 2K19 20th Anniversary Edition, and he was asked to personally select words to describe him to be included in the cover art. He chose words like king, strive for greatness, equality, and goat.
Wow. He went with goat.
Went with goat.
Rick, why's your head down?
No comment. I got nothing.
All right, you got nothing?
I got
we'll
a lot of something.
Moving.
I will buy that
I'll keep
game.
You out of trouble.
I am
we'll keep
so
moving.
Disappointed. You can't call yourself a leader, can you? You shouldn't call yourself a leader, right?
Lead by example, Rick.
You lead by example. Words, actions. People call you the leader. You don't call yourself. Come on, man. You can't call yourself the GOAT. Now, he calls himself the greatest player in the world, right?
Probably.
Okay, I've heard him say that. That's true. He's the greatest player in the world right now.
Does he have chosen one on his tattoo on his back?
He does, yeah. But he called himself the GOAT. I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
Okay. Apparently, some Dallas Cowboys players decided to take a little trip down to Florida. They're in Key West. Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott decided before going into a nightclub they were going to buy some, we'll call these wiener squirt guns. Okay? So they rolled.
So they're in the shape of male genitalia.
Yes.
Okay.
They rolled into a market called Shorty's in Key West, Florida on Friday night, along with several the Cowboys' offensive linemen. They decided to pick up said squirt guns, and then they were witnessed in Rick's bar. Yeah, is that you, Ricky?
Yeah, Rick.
Nope.
Where Zeke was seen holstering his tip up in a black fanny pack.
That is awesome. First of all, Paul was in the back to go behind the scenes here, trying to figure out a judicious way because they called them blank pistols, and he goes, "I don't want to have a meeting." So he goes, "I'm going to go with water wieners." And I go, "Well, that's fine, too."
Aye, aye, aye.
Dude, it's good, clean, harmless fun.
I don't know about that.
What are they, who are they hurting? See, the last time Dak Prescott
it's just
was on,
not a good look.
Wait, the last
why don't
time
you do it with female body parts instead of man body parts?
I'm gonna leave that alone because I almost said something that would have had us in a meeting. The last time I remember Dak Prescott on a beach anywhere, wasn't there a spring break video of him getting beat up when he was still at Mississippi State?
So, yeah, that kind of did go down, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's good he's got his boy Zeke Elliott, and they're down
gosh.
In Key West, where I think it's a little less violent than college spring break.
The Cowboys don't have voluntary minicamp going on right now, do they?
Apparently not.
No.
Well, I don't know. They might be blowing it off. That's the trend these days, huh?
Wow.
Well, not the whole team to blow it off.
Preacher kidding. Man, should we buy some water wieners for June 23rd, the Mark Owen celebrity birthday bash blowout?
Y'all should definitely do that because I will not be there.
Exactly. He
wants
I'll bring you one back.
You bring me one back.
Handheld.
He appreciates a wiener. What did you call it?
A water wiener gun.
Nowhere.
You got
nowhere.
That?
I believe we have Knox Bardeen coming up
still
at the top of the hour. Oh, I'm with you.
Preacher man. Research material so we can stop talking about water wiener guns.
All right, we're just going to make this easy today. We're going to go with the college babes. That's it.
It's always easy. It's something babes. It's something hot. This time it's the college babes.
Look, I keep it simple and I keep it wide-ranging for everyone.
We've got a great, great Barbershop Bickerfest coming up next with Knox Bardeen, which will also break down the Mount Rushmore of Melvins. We've got some great ones of those coming in next.
50 Shades of Knoxy.
You are such a stud.
Knox Uncensored.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Are you taking Doncic at 3?
I am, absolutely. I think this guy's
Come
a game
on.
Changer. Now we're going to have to get him over here and maybe move him around a little bit, make him a little more American.
And we're back in the Kia Studios, man. Knox Bardeen joining us.
Do you know what this is, Rick?
You gotta take a stand, it don't help to hide.
I don't.
Just
what do we got?
Let it play out for a second. You don't know. Oh.
You heard my friends, then you heard my pride. I gotta be a man, I can't let it slide.
I am a real American.
The way John is acting here in the Kia Studios, like bringing the hand up to his ear, looking for more crowd noise, I'm guessing this is a wrestling bit.
This is Hulk Hogan.
I hope Deshaun got that on video. I hope he was a Zoom.
That is Hulk Hogan.
He got it. He's raising his hands.
That is Hulk Hogan's entrance music. He was a real American. Knox Bardeen's a real American. Luka Doncic, we still got to move him
He's
around.
A real Slovenian.
He is.
Let me tell you guys how the Rick and John, the Midday Show with Rick Campbell and John Michaels is ruining my family. Last Thursday, as my daughter was practicing on her travel ball team, she ran out of the dugout onto the field and said, Dad, watch this. Watch me move around a lot out here.
She did not say that.
She did.
How old is your daughter?
10. They're clowning me at home. Mike.
She's got jokes at 10.
If they moved
That's
around
a really the, clever joke, by the way.
If
That's
they moved
awesome.
Around the dinner table on you get. Like, normally you're at the head of the table, and now you sit at the little table.
Take a look at me. You don't get anywhere near me at the dinner table. The dinner table's still mine.
Oh,
keep fingers and toes away from your mouth at all times.
Real American. Who sang this? For like Rick Dillinger or something like that?
Some cheesy band.
This is one of the
John Bon Jovi makes this band look like Pantera, okay?
This is 1980s WWF.
Oh.
Rick Derringer. That's
Rick
who it
Derringer.
Is.
Yeah. I should say this guy makes Bon Jovi look like Pantera.
All right, it is time for our barger.
I've been terrible with cliches today. Terrible.
I just said the Barbershop Bickerfest, but it's the Barbershop Bickerfest with Knox Bardeen. We want to start with this, Knox, and we're going to get into the playoff. Who's in, who's out? Amazingly, Rick and I agree on 9 out of the 10
wow.
selections
Ooh.
With this. It's ridiculous. But we want to ask you this. Somehow we got – who were you talking about named Melvin?
I don't even remember because that was 5
Melvin
minutes
Ingram,
ago.
Melvin Ingram. That's what it
Melvin
was.
Melvin Ingram and Melvin Upton.
So we remember got him? Into who are the Mount Rushmore of Melvins? Like if you had a top 4 Melvin, and we got some great submissions coming in.
I need them because I can only think of those two right now.
So you got Melvin Gordon, Melvin Upton. Somebody said Melvin Bullock. Not really familiar with Melvin Bullock.
Maybe we should bring him over here and move him around a little bit.
Maybe. Or Melvin Bullitt. I'm not familiar. Now, Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. I'm familiar with that.
Sure.
Let's see. A couple of the other ones coming in here. Melvin, nope. How about Melvin from the movie Baby Boy? Have you ever seen Baby Boy?
No clue.
I don't even know what that is.
You've never seen Baby Boy with Tyrese?
Have not seen Baby Boy.
Am I the only one? You two you've seen Baby Boy. Okay.
Mark Owens, have you seen Baby Boy?
He hadn't seen Scarface. We don't ask him any more movie that might be past the line of a little bit.
You've seen Scarface?
I have seen Scarface.
How many times?
More than a handful.
There you go. Me too.
Do you like it?
You got to take him to the mattresses if you are. That's different. I'm mixing my movies now. Scarface, yes. Say hello to my little friend.
It's a great movie.
Hey, you're going Godfather.
I was going Godfather. Sometimes I get mixed up.
A little bit different genre.
I'm still all up in myself because you guys are still staying. I thought we decided we were going to get off the Doncha stuff.
No, it's
that was not my idea, by the way.
It was mine. I went back there and said, you got to play real American. Because I actually had a quote up on our whiteboard up there. It said, quote, real American Noxy B. And then somebody took it down, and I'm assuming it was you.
It was not me, actually.
I don't know who did that, and I really don't like it. Melvin Franklin, Melvin Turpin. How about Bob Melvin?
You had me at Melvin Turpin. Bob Melvin, good one. I like that.
Somebody said Melvin off the movie Madagascar. We've all seen Madagascar with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
How about Mel from Southwest Atlanta? I don't know if he's Melvin
it's
or
not
just
a Melvin.
Mel.
Got to be a Melvin.
Okay. There we go.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel with Melvin's here, though.
This is the toughest Mount Rushmore we've ever endeavored. Wow.
And that'll be the longest we'll spend on it because we're now going to move on and bicker about something that matters. The NFL, five teams in, five teams out on average every year, Knox, that made the playoffs a year ago. We're going to give you the list that Rick and I have. And, again, we have 9 of the 10. We've agreed.
Wow.
Literally, we agreed on all 5 of the teams out and 4 of the 5 in. So here's the 5 teams we have out from a year ago that won't make playoffs this year. Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Kansas City Chiefs. Carolina Panthers. Minnesota Vikings. Tennessee Titans. Do you agree or disagree?
Minnesota. That's a monumental fall right there.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
That's your home
are they not
state.
It is my home state.
I need to hear why.
I no longer support that team at all. They are a 10-man team. They are the Los Angeles Clippers of the NFL. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, that whole bunch, 10 men. They look great, you know, in the airport, carrying their bags. They make all-star teams. They make money in Kia commercials. And when you get them on the court in a big game, boo, they shrink. That's the Minnesota Vikings. That's why.
They might shrink, and I'll agree with you there, but they're not going to shrink to a non-playoff team.
Okay.
This is a 2 years ago, Knox. Good defense.
It is. 2 years ago, they started 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Didn't make the playoffs.
Did not make the playoffs. And that killer defense you're talking about was killer for 5 games,
mm-hmm.
and then it wasn't. And last year, that killer defense was killer for 16, 17 games.
It wasn't even killer the whole New Orleans game.
It wasn't even killer in that game.
About half of that game.
They scored the first touchdown of the NFC Championship game and then gave up 38 consecutive points. They're a choky bunch, dude. That's why they're out for me.
Okay. I mean, I don't see that. I agree with the other 4 you had there. They were on my list, too, but I don't have Minnesota. And I just,
so who would be the 5th team you'd have
I don't
out?
Know. I don't have to have a 5th team. You said on That's average. The bit. I don't see it.
Well, that's why we
neither do we, because we didn't want to pick Tennessee.
No.
We didn't. I like Tennessee. I think it's a really talented team, but we had to go 5 teams, so we picked the Titans.
You want to take the Patriots out?
No, I don't want to take the Patriots out. I don't want to take the Steelers out.
Mm-hmm. How
Jacksonville's kind of wishy-washy, too, but who else in that division is going to step up if it's not the Titans? We already said the Titans are going
out.
In fact, I kind of like the Titans better than the Jaguars this year.
Really?
Are you sleeping on the Texans? My Texans?
I'm off the list, apparently.
Off the list, he said. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sleeping on the Texans.
Okay.
They're not going to get enough of that ammunition back.
What are you talking about?
Well, that you're missing your best player. He's still coming back. He's, you know, J.J. Watt, is he going to be J.J. Watt again?
The reports,
that's a great question, though.
It is. And if he's not, all of this optimism I have for the Houston Texans is flushed down the toilet. But the reports are that he's doing great and is going to be ready week 1. Same reports on Deshaun Watson. Therefore, I'm bullish.
Now, remember a year ago, it was 5 of 6 in the NFC alone. And I remember going into the season, we all were like, Cowboys are going to be in.
Yeah.
I mean, I was wishy-washy on that.
I'm trying to think who else. Everybody thought Green Bay is going to make the playoffs again. They always do. I think the team that we thought would be out was the Lions.
Seattle.
Seattle was going to make the playoffs. Yeah. Although I did not pick them to win the division a year ago. I just kind of failed in who I did pick. I picked the Cardinals to win the division. I thought Seattle would be out. But I know a lot of people said Seattle would be in. But that was one of those scenarios where you had 5 in the NFC alone, Knox. We're saying 2, and that's Carolina and Minnesota. Who else would you think? Do the Falcons have a chance to be out? Legitimately.
Legitimately, no. This team is too good from top to bottom for them to fall that far. Now, it hurts a little bit that the Saints are in, and that's another playoff team, so you potentially could lose two there. I don't think the Carolina Panthers are an easy win for this team, so you have a tough decision to play in, and we're still waiting for Tampa Bay to show us that they're ready to take those next steps. We've been waiting on it for 2 years. This is finally the year.
No, I don't buy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as far as I can throw them, and that big luggy pirate ship is pretty heavy to toss around, so I don't trust them. I also don't trust Carolina. Cam is an on-again, off-again guy. He'll have a great year, and he had a good year last year, not great. And then he bounces back the next year without much. They lose Lotulelei on the defense. They lose Andrew Norwell on the offensive line. I don't trust that they'll make the playoffs. But when I start to look, it's like, how do I take Philadelphia out?
You can't.
You can't.
How do I take the L.A. Rams out with all the moves they made?
You can't.
One of the best offseasons in NFL. Yeah.
The best.
And I look at the Falcons again, as you mentioned. Young defense, you know, rock-solid offense that could get back to being closer to where they were 2 years ago. The only teams I could think of that even have a chance to be out are Carolina and Minnesota and maybe New Orleans, because I'm still not buying New Orleans all the way.
Overrated. They're overrated.
I think the defense is still going to be like it was last year, and if that offense can find – just another piece. Who knows? I think they're a playoff team.
I think they are too, but they're not. I don't think they're a division winning team. And I think they'll probably be the fifth or sixth seed. Knox Bardeen in for our weekly barbershop Bickerfest. And so we're talking about the five playoff teams from a year ago that we think are out. John and I agree. KC, Buffalo, Minnesota, Carolina, Tennessee, beat it. Now, John and I also agree on four out of five that are going from out to in, unfortunately.
Okay.
We have Houston, we have Green Bay, we have the L.A. Chargers, and we have the Oakland Raiders, and we have a juice box bet.
Uh-huh.
John has San Francisco going from 6-10 to playoffs. I have the New York Giants going from 3-13 to the playoffs. So we got 20 juice boxes on which of those teams
wins more games this upcoming
season. So there it is. Those are the five teams that we feel are going from out to in. What says you?
First and foremost, the Green Bay Packers have completely, I don't know if revamped's the right word, but boy, did they add some weapons on that offense. Jimmy Graham up there is going to be hard to stop. Without a doubt, number one, that's the team that will make the playoffs that was out last year.
Yeah, and the only reason I think they were out a year ago, Knox, is Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Packers are in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
That could have meant the Falcons may have been out because I think – you know, we had the tiebreaker with Green Bay, but Green Bay may have gotten north of 10 wins if Rodgers was in the whole time.
The Chargers are another good one. I completely agree with you on that list right there, especially since I think we all agree Kansas City is going to take a step back.
Correct.
My question is, and I'll go with Oakland 3, which one of those two teams, Oakland or L.A., is going to step up and win that division? I think they're both in the playoffs.
I say the Raiders win the division.
I think Bolts. I think the Chargers win that division.
I like the defense, especially with the Chargers, but some of the guys like Khalil Mack on that defense for Oakland that are still getting better and better.
Roquan Smith now? No, he's not there.
We were hoping for that.
I was hoping
for Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith too, but the Bears took him earlier. But those three teams are definitely in the playoffs that were out last year. I know we all said Philadelphia is no way in the world going to step back, but Dallas, they don't have a shot in the world of stepping in, right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Have you seen the guys that Dak Prescott's going to be thrown to this year?
They don't have a tight end.
The Cowboys are too busy with water wieners down in Key West to worry about making the playoffs.
Careful.
No kidding. Seattle? Is Seattle ready to step back up there?
Oh, they're done.
Hell no.
Yeah. That...
They're so finished.
So they're looking 5-10, 5-11, 6-10.
So the way we had it, Knox, is three teams from the AFC out. You only gave us two.
Three up.
Oh, you said Jacksonville out.
Jacksonville out, yes. Okay. I like Tennessee better than Jacksonville.
So somebody else for you would have to make it then in the AFC. You said Raiders and Chargers. Who else is in? Do you think Houston is one of those teams that's in? Do you think the Broncos and you get three teams out of the AFC West? How about maybe the Browns going from 0-16 to the playoffs?
You could go with John's Ravens, 9-7, added a couple of tight ends.
If the tight end's exactly what that team needs, I think they need more pieces than that.
They need Lamar Jackson is what they need.
By the way, I agree with the shade you guys are throwing on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That roster is ready for the fast lane.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is not ready for the fast lane. Their coach is Dirk Cutter. He should be a coordinator, not a head coach. I thought he held them back last year, and I think he'll do it again this year.
Here's what I'm ready for, $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
street. S-T-R-E-E-T on our sister station, V103. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for Greg
Street
to rock. Text street right now to 72881 from your cell phone. Again, street is the code word, 72881 from your cell phone. You'll have to 59 past the hour to do so. Knox, we continue the Barbershop Bickerfest. So we kind of know who's in or out. Rick asked a question, and we also got to get to a Vision Computers Twitter poll, and I want to bring this up for the Bickerfest. Vision Computers Twitter poll. Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. Mark Owens cooked up a not-so-sporty one, but a fun one nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay, so for the past couple of weeks, we've been playing songs off of our iTunes playlist. We've done Tricky Ricky. We've done Johnny Michaels. I Got Friday.
And Monday.
And Monday.
This coming Friday, you're
going to be hearing nothing but hair metal and 80s glam rock off of Preacher Man. So the question is, of other members of 92.9 The Game, who do you think has the most entertaining iTunes playlist? Your options are Wendy, Jarvis, CCV, or Fricky. Now.
I knew that would get a good laugh.
Why are you cackling so extra for John?
I just say I've ridden in a car for 6 hours to Hilton Head with John Fricky and didn't. A
lot of NPR.
It's not NPR.
Okay, well, those two are actually, CCV and Fricky are battling it out on our Twitter page at Rick and John 929. John says, I have over 4,000 songs from Engelbert Humperdinck to Gap Band Rufus through George Jones, Trace Atkins, Bonus, Metallica, Cheech and Chong, and Mother's Finest. Where CCV says, my playlist runs from Too Short to Garth Brooks.
The Weeknd to
Vicente Fernandez. I'm all over the place.
I thought he was a relief pitcher for the Pirates.
If you made me, M.O., if you made me stay with your four options, CCV is definitely one I'm going to go with. Can I add an interesting
Which one?
New entry? Arthur Trish. I rode to SEC Media Days with Arthur Trish a couple of years back, and I was amazingly surprised with the wide range of music he listens to.
A lot of death metal.
Yeah.
A lot of death metal from AT.
Now, and, of course, Squidbilly Bo Morgan, who's producing Afternoons right now. Hey, man, what about me? I got a lot of old plays.
No, it goes Alabama to Skynyrd, back to the acoustic version of Journey, back to Alabama, and then some B-sides of Skynyrd.
So who would you want to listen to? So it would be CCV?
CCV on that list, absolutely.
I think so. CCV would have a lot of, we'd be salsa, maybe some bachata. We'd hear some hip-hop.
But it would be upbeat. It would all be fun. You'd be smiling the whole time.
Let me sport it up here real quick. Do we have a Julio Teheran problem, Knox? Go.
You know, I heard your segment there, and I went back and looked at his stats. I pulled up his last five games like you guys were talking about. Do you guys realize he's walked three batters in each of his last five starts?
That's not good.
That's horrible.
Have you seen his velocity drop off the table?
The velocity drop was bad. The three dingers he gave up. Yeah, I think we have a Julio Teheran problem. And everyone was kind of trying to figure out.
You usually disagree with my takes.
Was it not all?
No, I like it. But John does not think we have a Julio Teheran problem. Knox and I do. Go ahead, John.
Bigger Julio problem, Jones or Teheran?
Ooh,
go.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, that's a hot take question. Teheran.
Yeah, because it's actual season happening right now, and he's actually out there playing.
It's just because it's mandatory, because they pay him for it. It's not voluntary.
Knox, have you ever swung and missed at a kickball?
No, never.
Did you see the Julio video?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm so mad you didn't tweet
this. You didn't
this see one. It? Oh, you haven't seen the Julio
video? You got to go look at it.
Oh, yeah, I got to show this to
Feeble.
Yeah. Feeble. Swing and a miss on a kickball. A little red.
How do you do that?
You'll see.
I mean, even if it's bouncing, you still got to get a shin on it or something,
Right?
Correct.
Get a pinky toe, a nub.
A shoelace something.
Yeah.
No, complete whiff.
Wow.
A complete whiff.
I guess we don't want him using his feet except the rim.
Has this segment made you more American?
I'm going to move around a little bit over to the other bike next time. Maybe we'll.
How about his daughter getting into him as she goes out onto the field?
Now, have any of the new interns that have started here, have they found
out that you're... You guys were clowning me a little bit, and I had the other intern listening, so she kind of laughed. I don't think she realized what it was, but she knew that I was getting made fun of, so I appreciate that.
So your underlings are already knowing that we can make fun of you all the time.
I don't think they're ready to start jumping in yet.
No, they don't need to do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back one more round. We'll swing on the playoff thing. We'll talk about real American Knox Bardeen and a bigger Julio problem. Talk about all of that.
With Rick and John.
Oh, yeah, it's time for one more round live here from the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. There are times, Rick, that I would love to take what happens off the air and put it on the air, although then we probably wouldn't be on the air any longer if we did some of that stuff.
I actually can't believe I made it back in time for this segment.
Did you go to Chick-fil-A?
No, I just had quite the break adventure right there. I just want to leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
But a lot of times, what is said and done off the air is quite entertaining, but so is what we do on the air.
Yeah, most of the time. Some of the stuff off the air is definitely not safe for work.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the cameras in here are at watch929thegame.com were to pick up the sounds that are said between Paul, Mark, Rick, and I during the break, people would be a little bit upset with what we have to say. But it's time now for one more round. We haven't had a chance to hear from Jeff Lorenowitz. Jeff Lorenowitz, and there is a T in there. Paul just goes, oh, that's pretty close. And you actually got the T in there.
It's a silent T, though.
I told you I would spell it correctly on the rundown.
What's awesome is like when you watch the broadcast on TV, they'll Jeff Lorenowitz. They pronounce every single letter.
That's
the British, English.
I don't want to, like, overgeneralize or whatever, but just hearing announcers for a lot of years, it seems like whether it's basketball, soccer, British announcers tend to fully
enunciate.
Yeah, like fully enunciate every syllable of the word. So
it is the Queen's English.
Enough of all this grammar talk.
Ours is kind of the broken version of what it was originally meant to be.
Like a Brit would say, interesting, right? No. Brits say interesting.
That's what I say, interesting.
Yeah, so anyway.
I'm just a stupid Floridian, so
in between. Sometimes I'll say interesting, and sometimes I'll say interesting.
At least you don't say interesting.
What is even way more interesting than this conversation is Jeff Lorenowitz, as you mentioned. I'm with the morning show this morning, and he's a Philly guy. Mm-hmm. Hugh Douglas is a Philly guy.
Yeah.
We just beat Philly on Saturday night.
And they acted like clowns.
Hit it.
So it's safe to say you felt it kind of make you miss home a little bit?
it was funny because all of my relatives were watching. So I got a bunch of calls the other day like, hey, man, what was going on the other night? They were all watching the game.
So have you ever been a part of any – have you ever seen anything like that happen before on the pitch? Have you ever been any part of anything like that?
No, not live. I mean, I've seen something like that on TV. It kind of happened in the Champions League this year with Gigi Buffon with Juventus. But, no, not on the field. To be honest, I was a little worried for the ref there for a while. I think that's why I stepped in.
Jeff Lorenowitz, Atlanta United midfielder. Yeah, so tell me, Jeff, what was going on? Was it curse words that were being said? Were there threats? What were they yelling at him?
Yes, John.
There was plenty of that. I think that they were upset that, you know, he would give a second yellow card to their captain on kind of a silly play so early in the game. I think they wanted him to handle the situation differently. And when he did give him the second yellow, they just couldn't. They couldn't handle it at all. They just lost it. I think that they came into the game really charged up. Obviously, they've been on a bit of a streak, and it seems like every team when they come to play us brings their best. And I think it kind of eliminated their hopes pretty quickly when their captain got red carded.
Great stuff there with Jeff Lorenowitz. Good questions by John and Hugh to kind of goad them along and get them to kind of go in with that. You could tell by the way the two Philadelphia guys acted that they were losing their mind. They weren't asking for like a recipe for mac and cheese. They were calling that dude every name in the book.
How about Jeff Lorenowitz, who sounds like a totally cool dude, by the way? How about Jeff Lorenowitz saying he was worried about the ref and that's why I stepped in? And he sounded serious about it. I didn't hear any like wink, wink sarcasm in there. He also said that they couldn't handle it at all. That's another direct quote from Jeff Lorenowitz. Exactly right. They couldn't. I mean, I have rarely seen a team melt down like that in 48 years of watching sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just was surreal. I couldn't believe my eyes. It's like, thank you, Philly. You're giving us 3 points, whereas that was going to be a competitive match. I mean, they scored a goal when we had them 2-0. Mm-hmm. They scored a darn goal down two guys to make it a 2-1 soccer match. And then, of course, we get the third goal, Joseph the hat trick and all that jazz. But good stuff with Jeff Lorenowitz, man.
Now, the good thing for that official is, A, he didn't have a shiv like the guy in Brazil. And,
correct.
B, he wasn't in Brazil. Because I'm going to tell you now, in Brazil, that may have gone a different direction for the guy giving that. Because, let's be honest, that was a soft second yellow. I know there were warnings and everything
else. There were, like, multiple warnings. I was talking with Mike Conti about this, play-by-play man for Atlanta United, and, you know, Mike wasn't necessarily, you know, going in on the Philadelphia players. He was just kind of explaining objectively what happened, and he said there were so many warnings, and the players wouldn't let the ref put the ball down for the penalty kick.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, guys, we got to go here. We got to play. We're playing soccer here. The ruling has been made. You know, I can't remember if they went to VAR or not. I think they did. But it's like, shut up, play ball. You know what I mean, John? Even if there's a bad call, at some point the argument ends and you turn the page. And they wouldn't turn the page, though. And the guy stepped into the circle right at the top of the box and, like, tied his shoes as, like, a show-up-the-ref kind of thing. And the ref was over it.
He was, and he got bounced, and then the other guy went icky balooky, and he got bounced as well. It was yellow, yellow, bang, red, you're out of here, and keep things moving.
So, no doubt about it, man.
Again,
but good sound.
Thankfully, that ref was not in a foreign country, but Mark Geiger's in a foreign country. Can we leave him there?
World Cup.
Yeah, let's just leave him.
I think
don't
that's great.
Don't ever bring him back.
I think that's great. I mean, give him food and water. I mean, we don't want anything
I don't
harsh
care what
to
happens to him over there. Let him fend for himself. He's a grown
man. Should we put him up at a hostel?
Yeah, no.
A little too rough?
A little bit.
A little too rough?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take it back. I take it back. One more round, man. Do we have a Julio problem? No, not Jones. We're fine. We're fine with Julio for now.
Oh, you're fine with Julio now?
I am.
Okay.
I moved on. I mean, I'm still wishing he would have been a voluntary. What am I going to do? Hold a grudge the rest of my life for not going to voluntary OTAs? You know, I think me and Carl and Mike and many others on this station documented our complaints in great detail. So I don't think we need to go back and do that.
I will tell you this.
I believe the statement you're looking for is the bleep will hit the fan.
I'm just going to do the hard breath, the... Because things ain't going to be good if Julio Jones isn't out there. I can see three, like, physical face meltdowns that work on this staff if Julio Jones is not there.
Who are those guys, John?
That'll be you. And we come on first at 10 o'clock, and we'll be the first ones out there. And then Mike and Carl, like, skin will physically melt off of their face.
Like in the Indiana Jones movie?
It'll be like Ren and Stimpy, you know, how the skin would just melt off, and it would be a puddle of goo on the ground. There would be three puddles of Rick, Mike, and Carl face goo all over the ground if Julio Jones isn't out there.
Well, that's going to be messy. Julio, show up.
Paul, you and I will have to be the voice of reason, and that's... And even I'm not going to have a whole lot of reasoning at that point.
You guys are also going to have to get a spatula to clean up the mess. My God.
What'll be awesome is I'll put your nose on Carl, I'll put Carl's ears on Mike, and I'll put Mike's hair on you.
Hilarious. I like you. What is that? The old
face swap.
The old potato
yeah,
man.
Mr.
Potato Head. Yeah, you could switch it up like that.
You're like Hannibal Lecter.
John, speaking of size, I sigh because of Julio Teheran. Julio Teheran was pitching batting practice last night, guys and girls. Batting practice. I know it was late. Many of you didn't watch. That's fine. I did. Julio Teheran, I don't think I've ever seen him worse, really. The location was terrible. The velo was down. That's velocity. It's a baseball term. Was way down. I saw a 76-mile-an-hour curveball last night. A 76-mile-an-hour curveball. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. Curveball is slower than a fastball, but your curve should be 85, 86. Your fastball should be 93, 94, 95. Has Julio Teheran hit 95 on the gun all year?
I don't think so. I don't think he's a 95 guy. He's low
90. He used to be.
A while back.
But he's 27 years old. Where's the fastball? Julio
so
Teheran,
fast.
Dude, he is not 35 years old. If he was, like, okay, I get it. He's slowing down a little bit. These should be prime years of his career. I'm worried about Julio Teheran, and 86% of people on my personal Twitter poll are saying, yes, we have a Julio Teheran problem here in Atlanta. 86%.
I say no, only partly because going into this start, I was talking about all the things that Julio had been doing better over the last 10 starts, how he had basically gained, you know, all the confidence in the staff and for us more than anything to be back out. He wasn't good last night. Guys have that. Now, if he comes back on, and I'm assuming he'll start on Saturday, if he comes back on Saturday and he's equally bad, check back with me on Monday. Then I may say we have a Julio problem.
So Teheran had to leave the start early last night with a right thumb contusion. And I'm not going to play a conspiracy theory card and say, of course, yeah. I'm not going to play a conspiracy theory card and say that, you know, they made up an injury to get him out. No, I think he was legitimately hurt, but he legitimately stunk before that. And you mentioned the last five starts. The numbers are. Okay, like there were a couple of decent starts in there, but the numbers are last five starts, 1-3 record, 19 earned runs in 28 innings. That's awful. That's what, about a 6 ERA? I haven't done the math on it, but it's terrible. So, Julio, love you. Want to cheer for you. I want to ride or die with you, but I'm worried about you right now.
Is he like Knox Bardeen? Is he back on the list?
He's on the list.
Okay.
Both Julios are on my list right now.
It's a Julio free list for John Michaels right now. Check back with me Wednesday afternoon. Hey,